Welcome to Blash and Co., where scripts find their voice. I'm June Moon Sadler, your host and unreliable narrator. Each episode, we gather around the mic to bring fresh scripts to life, complete with talented voice actors, Foley sounds, and custom soundtracks crafted just for these worlds. So turn up and let your ears do the watching. The story's already started. Shh, quiet on set. Moonhawk by June Sadler. Fade in. Exterior small town alley, midnight. Shadows form sharp angles under the eaves of the closed post office. Catching his breath, Falcon Bluff, 18, indigenous, athletic with long locks hanging past his shoulders, takes out his phone for a short video log.
If anything happens to me, if I'm taken into police custody, I did not unalive myself.
Falcon adjusts his book bag, rechecking the contents. Beneath his feet and spreading out in front of him, he sees a pathway of glowing purple light. Familiar since turning 13, the light signals to him. Danger, safety. The light comes to certain members of his tribe, the Isazi. Checking the street again, he replaces his black balaclava and hops on Flight, his self-designed scooter, and the fastest one on the street. Finding a spot where the trail gate is closed, he buries the scooter in a shallow spot before covering it with heavy branches. Setting off on a light jog, he heads toward the gravel and small stones alongside the river. Exterior, University grounds, Soldier Sam Monument, night. So many police cars choke the perimeter around the monument that the overlapping red and blue lights light up the block like a purple disco strobe. Police Chief Patrick Stroud, 40s, balding but fit, screeches to a halt, the 10th and last car to fit into the campus square. Soldier Sam, the Confederate soldier, long dead, overlooks the green lawn, standing mute amid all of the turmoil he is causing.
Who the hell is the guard on duty?
Raymond Bernio, 60s, retired mall security guard, waltzes up to Sheriff Stroud. His balloon belly, stretched from flat beer and cheap food, leads the way.
He was a punk kid, I'm telling you. No one gets the jump on Ray.
Evidently someone can and did. Do you at least have a description?
Raymond looks toward the Soldier Sam statue. The brand new concrete barrier is cracked and pockmarked from pellets. Two large, black, spray-painted middle fingers interrupts the brand-new white concrete.
Yeah, all black from head to toe. Face covered by balaclava. Black book bag, medium height.
You just described half the campus. Officer Rankin, put it on the APB. You heard the details as we have them. Bernio, walk with me and tell me everything.
Exterior, University campus, main entrance, night. A white news van rolls past the clogged entrance of the campus. Officers guarding the monument stop the van. In the driver's seat, Rover Duvall, 30s, overachieving field producer. On the passenger side, Elise Whitewright, 20s, blonde, blue-eyed, super fit and ambitious, answers a call from the network producer, Stan Clemens, 60s.
I don't have to remind you. This is your big chance. With the right angle, prime time is where you'll stay.
Exterior, Soldier Sam Monument, 5 minutes later. Yellow and black caution tape slaps in the wind. Elise Whitewright adjusts her microphone and ear mic before beginning the live broadcast.
We're live at Carbo College after a shooting incident. The shooter is considered armed and dangerous. Police are cautioning neighborhoods around campus to stay off the streets and lock your doors. We'll stay on this story for you, updating as more details come forward. Reporting to you live, Elise Whitewright, WBCD 8.
Exterior, Old Mushroom Trail, night. Falcon Bluff moves with quick deliberation down the riverbank, headed toward the bridge to camp overnight. Exhausted from running for the past few hours, he searches for a hiding place behind a low cropping of bushes. Falcon threads the handfuls of mushrooms he picked along the way on a small stick, making a mushroom kebab. Satisfied, but far from full, he lays back, falling asleep within minutes. Exterior, Orange Grove Nature Preserve, day. Moonhawk, 40s, honey-coated skin glowing in the dappled afternoon, sits still as a statue, as bumblebees, butterflies, and a yellow finch buzz and swirl around her. Her hands glimmer with a violet iridescence. Beep, 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 beep. The cell's sharp ringer is out of place in the peaceful landscape. Searching through a rucksack of feathers, potions, herbs, and apothecary bottles, Moonhawk finds the contraption just before it stops ringing.
Hello?
Is this Dr. Hawk?
Jess Moonhawk. How can I help you?
There's been a shooting at Carborough College. I have it on authority that you're the best tracker on the East Coast.
By the authority of whom?
The FBI, ma'am.
Exterior, Brumsfield Forest, South Parking Lot, day. Agent Flint Jeffries, 50s, pockmarked face with thinning brown hair, and Agent Raina Blowden, 50s, tall with light brown hair and a tight bun, lays a blown-up copy of the trail map on the car hood. Moonhawk points to the closest trail.
The ranger station near Green Valley Preserve is a 2-mile hike where you'll set up your secondary camp. I'll start tracking from there. And everyone, please stay quiet and close to base. If this shooter is in the forest, he'll be spooked with a bunch of you charging through the forest alerting the wildlife.
Fine by us. We'll keep in touch by phone.
Yeah, right. There's no signal in the forest. Stay in touch on walkie.
Dream sequence, exterior, forest, shallow pit, 5 a.m. Falcon tosses and turns in the pit, causing the earth and leaves to shift under his weight. Falcon on campus at Carborough College. He walks campus, attends class, and eats lunch alone. The Sons of Revolution, SOR, run the campus. Falcon attempts to steer clear of them, but they go out of their way to taunt him. Luke Greer, 19-year-old, is the leader of the Sons of the Revolution and president of Student Council. He is a bully with too much power.
Hey, hey, look, fellas, it's Bird Boy.
Falcon keeps walking until Luke throws the rest of his smoothie in front of him. The purple light highlights the path and he jumps over the mess. Undaunted, he keeps walking without missing a beat. Luke sneers. End dream sequence. The words Bird Boy continue to echo as Falcon awakes in the dim dawn. Taking out his phone, he continues the video log.
I'm not Bird Boy. This is crazy.
Putting his phone back in his back pocket, Falcon begins searching for a large stick. Seeing one, he stops when his phone vibrates. Close up on phone. Campus is on lockdown until the shooter is found.
Shit.
Interior Ranger Station, day. FBI agents and sheriff deputies gather around Agent Flint Jeffries and Agent Raina Blowden. There's more polyester in this bunch than a principal convention at the local Walmart.
As soon as we finish setting up, we need to drop a pin back to base camp while we still have signal.
The room is rustic but clean. 4 bunk beds, the mattresses thinner than a cracker, lean against the yellowing walls.
When did we time travel back to the 1800s?
Bernio, I'm inches from charging you with being an accessory to the crime. Sure is a coincidence that the perp knew just when you'd leave your post.
If looks could kill, it would be death by obliteration. Moonhawk spins on a dime and stalks off. Interior, dorm room, day. Roommates and members of the Equity for All group, Lila Hernandez, 19-year-old Puerto Rican with black curls bouncing, scans her phone while Bobby Lightfoot, 19 years old, caramel colored with Pocahontas inspired braids flowing down her back, flips through the news stations for updates on the lockdown.
You heard from Falcon today?
No, and honestly, I'm worried. The whole campus is on lockdown.
Yeah. You should be in this room, right?
I don't know, and I can't even go check. Fuck this shelter in place bullshit.
Exactly. This shit is crazy.
I'll text him. This just got real.
Exterior, Brumsfield Forest, day. Falcon crouches back on his haunches, still reading the display, when another text chirps its arrival. Close up on foam display. Bobby, you good? Falcon begins typing, but after deliberating, deletes the response. Missing his back pocket, the phone drops, bounces, before scattering into the underbrush.
Ah, no.
Without thinking, he grabs for the phone, disturbing a foraging copperhead. Seeing red, Falcon violently flings his arm back. Too late. The snake has punctured his right hand.
Ah!
Interior, Dean's office, Carborough College, day. The office reeks of old money. It's all heavy, dark walnut furniture with subdued lighting and a very expensive, thick, grand velvet carpeting. Dean Richard Fusehall, 70s, a pale, pro-antebellum history professor, on tenure and holding, calls the gathering of cronies to celebrate their most recent victory for the Sons of Revolution. Dean Theo Galt, 50s, sports a slick back with a little too much dye. The Botox job make him always look surprised. Chase Harvey, 19-year-old, blonde, blue-eyed, wears more a smirk than a smile as he high-fives Luke. This look is perfected with years of having everything go your way with money to make sure it does.
Thanks to you, you brilliant son of a bitch, our soldier stays.
Dean Theogart strokes his goatee with manicured nails before raising his glass of 40-year-old scotch.
Still got it. It was my brief that busted this wide open. It single-handedly got the stay, and by God, Soldier Stam stays.
Yeah, but he just got vandalized again. That's like the fourth time.
And my dad got the FBI called in now, didn't he? So stop whining. They'll find the guy.
Yeah, okay. So what's next?
We do what we do. Use our contacts.
Cole, stay in.
Exterior, Forest, midday. Hands shaking. Falcon MacGyvers, a rough splint using duct tape from supplies in his book bag and two sticks. He slaps on his book bag, grabs the branch, and takes off on a slow jog. Exterior, Ranger Station area. Day. Bagel the Basset Hound tracks alongside Moonhawk. Toast, Moonhawk's horse, noisily slurps during a water break. Exterior, Forest, day. Falcon comes to a stop, drinks down sips of water before splashing a handful over his face. Takes out his phone and records.
I've got to make it to the ranger station for the snake bite, kid. Everything has gone to shit. This is what happens when you take up for yourself.
Shaky, he swallows hard. Taking a step, he vomits, then crashes over. Exterior, Forest, continuous.
What have you got, Bagel?
Bagel whimpers, then sits. Her tail thumps in excitement. Moonhawk slowly approaches with her rifle. Cocks it. Toast snorts. The black-clad figure does not move. Moonhawk lowers the rifle, then gently prods the body with her foot. No movement. Moonhawk turns over the body, then takes out the walkie-talkie.
I've got him.
Exterior, Ranger Station, continuous.
Somebody get a map. She sent over coordinates.
Who the hell reads maps nowadays?
Again, who co-signed to bring him along?
There's a huge trail map in the office.
Exterior, Forest, moments later. Moonhawk eyes the duct tape and stick split. It registers. Swollen fingers, blue wrist, snake bite symptoms. Moonhawk takes out a snake bite kit from the bag on Toast's saddle. She places the pressure pad on the wound before carefully wrapping the arm from elbow to fingertip. Interior Ranger Station Day. Huddled around the map, the group of agents and deputies find Moonhawk's coordinates.
Gather your things and hurry up. We'll get to them by nightfall.
Great. I'd like to sleep in a real bed tonight.
You're on the floor, no matter what.
Exterior Forest Day. Falcon Rouse is awake, in pain and extremely groggy. He's bound to a tree with a loose yet secure knot that tightens as he sits up. Bagel growls, alerts Moonhawk.
You're tied with a bowline, so if you like breathing, be still. I wrapped up your hand, but you need anti-venom. I'm going to give you some water for a pain pill, but you have to take off your mask.
No!
Moonhawk opens her brown duster, revealing a leather holster and a shiny pistol. Falcon Bluff faints. Moonhawk rushes to Falcon's side. She loosens the balaclava and pulls the mask off.
Falcon, what the?
She reopens her medicine bag, pulls out smelling salts. Falcon rouses awake again, now completely untied. Falcon's bag is open. Moonhawk holds Falcon's phone, watching the video log as tears stream down her cheeks. Series of shots. Falcon alone in his dorm room. He paces the floor, checks and rechecks his phone, starts to dial his mom, stops, tries again, stops. Falcon in Equality for All meeting. Falcon with a smile on his face as he walks with Bobby. Falcon's video of guard Raymond Bernio jeering and taunting the Equality for All students. Falcon sets up his phone. He spray paints two middle fingers before he shoots up the concrete to emphasize the graffiti. End flashback. Bagel licks Falcon's face. Moonhawk eyes Falcon. They stare. Moonhawk throws the walkie-talkie as far as she can. Moonhawk adjusts Falcon safely in tow saddle before taking off in a gallop. Exterior forest, hours later.
Just over this hill matches the coordinates to Moonhawk's location. We should be there in a few minutes.
Agents Flynn and Blowden jog down the hill before the others.
Come in, Moonhawk. Over.
His voice echoes from behind a bush where the walkie-talkie has fallen.
What the hell happened?
See? He must have got to jump on her too.
Let's head back to the Ranger Station and regroup.
Exterior Riverbank, midday.
Your bite is serious.
I know. The Ranger Station
has the anti-venom kit and the people after you.
Our tribe has several.
We're not welcome and we have no clue where to look.
We need to find them. I remember the last place they were.
I do too.
Do you still see
the lights? Yeah. Do you?
They got me here.
Interior Ranger Station office, day.
Send a group up from base, we need more men.
We better split up.
Sheriff, how many men can we get here?
Everyone we have available is already on it.
The whole city?
Yep.
Well, then pull from the county.
That's a big ask for a low-profile case like this.
I'm getting heat from the bigwigs.
Join the club. The SOR are breathing down my neck over a damn statue. Meanwhile, my deputies have been working around the clock without a break, and no one was hurt or killed.
How many are over at base camp?
Four total.
Keep two there and get the other two here ASAP.
You realize she may have run off with him?
Or she could have been overpowered. Either way, we need to find them both.
Interior Dean's office, afternoon. Dean Theogaut, his imported burgundy loafers atop the edge of the massive L-shaped desk, match the cherry wood decor. Dashing out the celebratory cigar, he answers the phone. Intercut telephone conversation.
Got some news for you about the gal they hired to find that boy.
I'm listening.
Looks like she either hightailed it with him or he kidnapped her.
Hot damn. Now what?
We need help.
Then we need to do everything on our end to make this possible.
Dean Galt clicks off without a goodbye to dial the station manager, Stan Clemens. Interior newsroom, WBCD 8, same time.
You got Stan.
Amp up the story tonight.
We need more boots on the ground.
I know just what to do.
Stan hangs up on Dean Gault and dials Elise. Interior, newsroom, WBCD 8, same time.
Elise Whitewright speaking.
A shooter is still on the loose. The tracker disappeared into thin air, may have even left the forest. Hit it and hit it hard.
Sure thing, Stan.
Interior, newsroom, WBCD 8, evening. Breaking news spins across the massive wall of monitors, announcing today's top story.
Good evening. I'm Elise Whitewright. We interrupt your programming to bring you the latest coverage on the Carrboro College school shooting. Not only is the shooter still at large, but they may have a possible hostage. We have new footage from cameras located around the college.
Interior dorm room, evening. Bobby reaches for the remote to turn up the volume on the television when the breaking news alert sound interrupts her Instagram reverie. Surveillance cameras show the backside of a slim figure running away, long locks bouncing, just as an overweight figure in uniform trudges into view.
Surveillance video shows a black-clad figure in a black face mask. Police are asking for cooperation as the manhunt continues. Live with WBCD 8, I'm Eliza Whitewright.
Do you know what's weird? I mean, not to be like that, but did anybody get shot?
Right, that part.
Have you heard from your boy?
No, he left me on red.
You say that like it's a good thing.
It is. It means he's still alive.
Exterior, private reserve, evening. Moonhawk spots another rock cairn in front of a row of trees. With her binoculars, she sees the abandoned eagle nest high in the tallest, bushiest hickory tree.
This is the land of the eagle.
What was that eagle whip used to say?
Vision is sacred.
Moonhawk rides until she sees a large ditch just off the shore of the stream. Toast and Bagel sip water while Moonhawk quickly builds a small fire. She changes the bandage on Falcon's hand.
The videos.
When I got to school and they treated me like shit, deep down I felt like I deserved it. So I just took it.
No, why didn't you call me? Let me know what was going on.
The way we left things, I thought you'd say I told you so.
What? Son, I only want your good. I'm sorry, Falcon. There are so many times I wanted to call.
Me too.
I should have called. But Falcon, the shooting, the whole city is looking for you. They're making you out to be a monster. Have you any idea the trouble you're in?
I wanted to feel like we had a chance instead of one step behind.
I get that. It's one of the reasons I left home myself.
What was the other reason?
I had to allow myself to step away and grow. Eagle Wolf taught me my limitations, but I needed to know how far the light could expand.
Moonhawk finishes the bandage, handing Falcon a bit of jerky. She puts her supplies away, then sits down beside Falcon as the fire crackles. Exterior, private reserve, Isazi territory, night. Two scouts, Spider, 20s, lean and muscular, and Wren, 20s, slim as a long-distance runner, crouch silently behind the copse of hickory trees, eyes wide with awe. Only some members of the tribe have the light, but all can see it. Exterior, Ranger Station, night.
State Trooper canine units from the county will be here at dawn.
Do we have anything from the shooter?
No, the dogs can track the horse, though.
Interior, secret Isazi tribe land, day. Deep in a hidden cave, the underground city of the Isazi tribe remains unseen and inaccessible to the public. Eagle Wolf, 70s, chiefess of the Isazi, glows from an inner power, ageless, with a genius-level intellect. She and her tribe have built their city using extremely advanced sound technology passed down from thousands of years before. She watches a bank of monitors like a five-star general. On one screen, Toast splashes in the shallow creek, carrying Falcon and Moonhawk. Just above, Wren places a hand over a smooth gray stone. The stone glows a bright white until a small door pops open out of the ground, revealing a narrow set of steps. Rin and Spider step silently into the war room.
Report.
They're still looking for us.
And?
The visitors are after them.
What did you see?
Agents and deputies are at the ranger station. We followed, tracked some separate groups, some walking in pairs with dogs, 12 total.
What should we do?
Go get them. Take care they don't see anything and bring them through the western gate.
Exterior forest, day. Moonhawk and Falcon are hiding. Moonhawk takes out her binoculars, scanning the woods for several minutes.
Bagel heard something.
So do I. You think the agents caught up to us?
They'd have to be moving pretty fast and know our exact location.
And what did we hear?
Rin and Spider step out from the hickory trees.
It's us, Moonhawk. And what you have heard was intentional. We've been following you for a while now.
I felt like we were being watched by the hickory trees, right?
Evil Wolf scents for you. Put these on. We'll take you to her.
Rin holds out black eye mask.
Eye masks? Really, Rin?
We must have been close.
Interior. Carborough College dorm room. Hamilton Hall. Day. Luke Greer and his flunky, Chase Harvey, relax in the living room of their shared suite.
We have to hire a new guard since Borneo is a dud.
Yeah, he got into it with that kid right after the rally.
What kid?
Falcon?
You mean Bird Boy?
What's your problem with him anyway?
Screw you. He doesn't know his place, and I'm the one to teach him.
What do you mean by that? I don't want any more trouble.
I don't want any more trouble. I have an idea, and we won't have any more trouble from Bird Boy.
Fuck this, dude. Shit is too hot right now. I say we back off.
And I say we turn up the heat. Call Dean Gault. I think we have a suspect.
What? You can't prove it was him?
I don't have to prove it. Just provide a little information. It's up to the cops to figure out the rest.
I don't like this, Luke. What are you planning on doing?
I'm doing my civic duty while you do nothing. Didn't they ask the community for help if we see something suspicious? He's suspicious.
Whatever. I'm gonna grab a beer, do some homework.
As Chase goes to his bedroom, Luke calls Dean Gault.
Dean Gault, I think the news should have this picture.
I love the way you think.
Interior newsroom, WBCD 8, evening.
Stan, you'll be getting a picture of the shooter.
I smell an Emmy, Dean.
Just remember who's providing the stories.
Elise Whitewright waits behind the news desk for the cue from the floor director to begin.
Good evening. I'm Elise Whitewright with a live update from the shooting at Carborough College. We now have a photo of the suspect seen at the location.
A blurry photo of Falcon's profile is seen as he is arguing with guard Raymond Bernio just after the rally. Interior, underground, Esazi City, evening. Esazi Microplex is a massive underground city with high ceilings. Geothermal technology provides a year-round temperature of 70 degrees. Open-air houses, large courtyards, lush plants, and mouth-watering gardens went as far as the eye could see. In an aviary, Eagle Wolf feeds handfuls of seeds to dozens of birds, cooing and chirping for her attention. Her hands glow a bright green. As Rin and Spider approach with Falcon and Moonhawk, the birds begin squawking louder with recognition.
Trouble follows you.
You brought us here.
You were looking.
Falcon is hurt. Can we please discuss this later? He was bit by a copperhead.
How many hours since you were bitten?
Coming up on 24.
Rin, Spider, get him to the wellness clinic and prep him for surgery. Get the antivenom out of cold storage.
I'm coming with you.
Fine.
His hand is going to need surgery.
I taught you this procedure.
Yes, and I came up with the idea to use protein structures for the skin graft.
You haven't lost your arrogance.
Apple tree.
They hurry to the wash station, rinsing quickly before Rin and Spider apply sterile gloves to Moonhawk and Eagle Wolf's dripping hands. Series of shots. Rin places the oxygen mask over Falcon's face. Moonhawk monitors the amount of antivenom as Eagle Wolf injects Falcon's arm below the bite. Eagle Wolf watches Moonhawk sewing the wound close. Falcon rests in the aftercare unit as Eagle Wolf and Moonhawk monitor his recovery. Interior, Isazi Underground Aftercare Unit, Day.
How you feeling, Falcon?
Much better, Eaglewolf.
Agents and deputies ransacked the forest to find you. What have you done?
Now is not the time.
Those men stand at the ready with weapons and dogs. When is the time? Their very presence is a danger to our land and way of life. Do you remember how it was before?
Before what? Say it.
You ran away. We were hunted. No place was safe until we built this place, using gifts from the ancestors. You know our power. You and Falcon have inherited it.
You have one thing wrong. I didn't run away. You pushed me away.
All I ever wanted was to teach you the way before I returned to the stars. For you to sit by my side and rule with me.
I didn't want to rule. I just wanted to... I was 5 when you stopped answering to Mom. 12 when I did my first surgery. At 18, my freshman year, never drank, never spent a night out or away from the tribe.
To keep you safe.
From what? Life? I was stifled. I felt like I was choking on your air. Too many demands, too big of shoes to fill.
I relied on you.
I was just a kid. I needed to just be a kid, not walk in your shadow. They laughed at me.
Wait, what do you mean they laughed at you?
Yes, I was made fun of. They called me Pocahontas, saying little Indian girl when I walked by.
They called me Bird Boy, then start chanting, asking for the peace pipe.
They did this to you both? Why didn't you come home? You never said a word about it.
I thought you would say I told you so, that I deserved it because I left.
Falcon gets up from the bed to comfort his mother. Eaglewolf looks at Moonhawk and Falcon, concerned with the bullying they received.
Pardon the interruption, but the dogs are going wild and they're right above us. What do you want us to do?
Gather the...
No, Eaglewolf. They want me. This is my fight. Take me to them, Red.
Exterior, Isazi Territory, Day. Falcon changes out of the hospital gown. He pauses to pick up the jumpsuit, admiring the family crest, a totem of an eagle, a hawk, and a falcon, before shaking out his long locks. He stripes his cheekbones with war paint. He does a warrior yell before sliding out from a hidden doorway.
Yeah!
Not far away, Agent Raina Blowden and guard Raymond Berniel turn to face the noise.
What the hell?
Agent Blowden reaches for her weapon.
Wait, you looking for me?
Who the hell are you?
Falcon slowly raises his hands, oblivious to the pain in his right hand, and gives them a double middle finger.
Recognize me now?
It's him! That's the shooter! Gotta be!
Everyone's looking for you.
Yeah, boy, you're in big trouble. Look at 3, maybe 4 years in the pokey.
You're under arrest.
Wait just a minute there. I need to teach this boy a lesson. Why don't you turn around and let me put on the cuffs? It's a long walk back and he may fall and hurt himself.
Whatever. I'm gonna go empty my bladder and fill up the water bottle. Be done by the time I get back.
Guard Raymond Bernier marches to Falcon with his right arm ready, his hand in a tight fist. Falcon sees the punch coming in, ducks under, coming up with a ferocious uppercut. Berniel swivels, caught off guard, blood gushing from his cut mouth. Falcon doesn't wait for the response before tagging him with a flurry of body blows. Winded, Berniel goes down, in pain, grabs a handful of dirt that flies into Falcon's eyes. Falcon brings hands to his face as Berniel charges, lifting Falcon off his feet before being tossed on his hurt arm. Falcon screams in pain. Bernio focuses in on bringing more pain to Falcon's hand by kicking his right arm over and over. Falcon spins away, protecting his hand under his left arm. Falcon begins to glow. The purple light flows through his body, entering his hand and healing it immediately. With full function of his hand, he starts raining down blow after blow. Each memory of hurt, pain, shame, funneling into his punch. Interior, Isazi War Room, Day. Eaglewolf and Moonhawk watch the fight from the bank of monitors that make up an entire wall of the room. Agent Blowden again goes for her gun, training it on Falcon. Bernio lies on the ground, bleeding and breathing hard. Moonhawk and Eagle Wolf race to the surface and appear from a hidden door in the same jumpsuits as Falcon.
Enough!
Oh, look who it is! Kel, you best get out of the way! This boy just assaulted an officer, and he will be arrested!
Stop there. You do realize you are on federally protected land.
What is she going on about?
Tell them, grandson.
I can't believe it's gone so far. I'm not a shooter, I'm a student, a son. I have loans, I work two jobs, I joined Equality for All because it's what I believe in. But the BB gun and those middle fingers made a louder point than my voice ever could. I proudly stand now on my tribe's land, the Asazi.
Good for you, but enough of the cowboys and Indians play stuff. We got the rest of the agents and deputies on their way here. What have you got?
Slowly, the warriors of the Asazi tribe come out of their hiding places. Joined by Ren and Spider are another dozen warriors. All are dressed in the sea green jumpsuits, ready for war. Moonhawk and Eagle Wolf help Falcon off the ground and flank him. Soon, Agent Blowden and Guard Bernio are surrounded.
We have them.
You are visitors on my land, and I am asking you to leave peacefully. Grandson, are you part of this tribe? Daughter, are you part of this tribe?
Yes, Grandmother.
Yes, Mother.
I declare them part of this tribe and protected under federal law. You have no jurisdiction here.
Is what she's saying true?
Yeah, this is protected land. They are a sovereign nation. Let's go. Ren, Spider, make sure our visitors leave the area. Warriors, at ease, return home. Grandson, I just put our way of life on the line. We deserve to know the whole truth.
You call me grandson.
You both mean more to me than duty or title. As wide and high as the eagle, hawk, and falcon fly, that's not even close to how much I love you.
I love you too. Son, do you hear me? I'm proud of you. I love you.
Yes, Mom. Eagle Wolf, I love you too.
They fold back into the forest, disappearing behind trees. Interior, Asazi War Room, evening. The room, heavy on tech, looks like the deck of the Starship Enterprise met an old school amphitheater. Council members of the Asazi tribe, all dressed in varying shades of green and purple, surround a raised die. Falcon sits in a charcoal swivel chair encircled by Ren, Spider, and Moonhawk. Monitors display Falcon's video log.
We just returned from the rally. We were happy and excited. When I looked at my friends, I felt something. Hope. We were headed to our dorms, walking by the Soldier Sam monument. It looked different. A large white barrier was around it, and this guy in a uniform was protecting it. As we were walking by, the guard started yelling at us.
The video begins to play. Bobby walks beside Falcon with Leela and five more members of Equality for All. Video plays.
Look at you goofy kids. Don't you realize you'll never win? All that walking and protesting for what? Why don't you just give up?
Shut up. We have a right to be here.
Go back to Africa.
Guard Raymond Bernio pulls out his police-issued baton. Before Bernio reaches Bobby, Falcon steps forward, blocks the hit, then trips Bernio. Embarrassed, Bernio spits a gob of saliva toward the group. Burning with lavender, Falcon moves just in time. Bobby, however, gets a shirt full of spit. Enraged, Falcon charges at Bernio.
No, Falcon, no, he's not worth it. Come on, let's go. Falcon, come on.
This isn't over.
Barely controlling his anger, Falcon allows Bobby to pull him away, but not before he gives Bernio the double middle finger.
Falcon, walk me home, please.
Okay. Everybody else all right? Text me if you need anything.
Once the rest of the group walks off, Bobby turns to Falcon.
I need you to do something.
Of course. What is it?
Are you still doing the video journal for your media class?
Off and on. Why?
I want you to keep going with it. But add in stuff like what happened tonight. I think you should document everything.
Falcon rubs his hand over his face, awareness washing over him like a wave.
You mean in case?
Yeah, just in case.
Eagle Wolf clicks off the monitor as the tribe members shift in their seats.
Is that your person?
She could be.
Lucky I wasn't there. No one could hold me back if someone did that to Ren.
The council will convene for 20 minutes to reach a judgment.
Interior war room, hours later. Moonhawk and Falcon join Ren and Spider as Eagle Wolf delivers the verdict.
It pains me to see the visitors have not changed. After hundreds of years, we are still at war. Falcon, you showed uncommon bravery and courage. Your name was run through the mud, but you kept fighting. Picked on and bullied, you never gave up, just like your mom. I stand here as a chief, but as a mother and grandmother, I am proud.
Thank you, grandmother.
Don't thank me yet. It's time to announce our punishment. We've called the general administration of Carbo College. We are assured all charges will be dropped. However, you will return here for holidays and summer internships to learn more about your tribe.
Ren and Spider clap Falcon on the back. Moonhawk is all smiles.
Do you agree to these terms?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Why do you even want to go back?
I have to go back and share my story. Others need to know the truth. And that statue is coming down. On God.
Superimpose, 6 months later. Interior Civil Rights Division, downtown Raleigh, morning. Judge Oberlin Sanders, 60s. His monk-like bald spot gives him a priestly and trusting vibe.
I invoke a summary judgment on the basis of overwhelming evidence. Statements from members of Equality for All, along with substantial video footage, was enough, but it was the testimony of the key witness, Chase Harvey, that brought everything to light. Luke Green, you are charged with harassment, bullying, and communicating threats. Please stand for your sentencing. You are sentenced to 1 year of probation and 500 hours of community service. You are to immediately withdraw from Carbo College, and you will pay the victim restitution. Today marks the first day of any official restraining order. You are not to ever again have any contact with the plaintiff. Case dismissed.
As the gavel hits the sound block, Falcon sighs with relief. Moonhawk, Ren, Spider, Bobby, and the rest of the Equality for All students hoot, clap, and surround Falcon. Falcon eyes Luke Levin. Falcon gives what is now his signature. He gives Luke the double middle finger. Turning away, Falcon takes Bobby aside.
Thanks. What you said about documenting, you made this all possible.
No, you did. And guess what else? Chancellor Cole, she sent out a campus email. I took a snapshot of the best part.
I would like to follow up with an important campus-wide concern. Intercut with press conference. Exterior, Carver College, Confederate site, day. Chancellor Cole. I have authorized the removal of the Confederate monument known as Soldier Sam. No one learns at their best when they feel unsafe. The fact that despite our best efforts, threats have continued to grow and place our community at serious risk has led me to authorize this action.
Are you kidding me? Is this really happening?
Yes, Boo.
Oh, I'm your Boo now.
Falcon and Bobby share a first kiss. The tender moment is witnessed by the group who are all smiling. Fade to black. The end. That's all for now from Blash & Co. where scripts find their voice. I'm June Moon Sadler, host and unreliable narrator. Until next time, enjoy everything, trust nothing.